Virginia. 33% said they were watching that fairly closely. 4 in 10 said they were following the situation in Iraq very closely. Only 1/3 following the news of domestic wiretaps very closely. The confirmation hearings for Judge Sam Alito to be on the Supreme Court also drawing fairly limited attention. 14% say they're watching very closely. 23% saying fairly closely. House Republican leaders today rejected calls to move up the election of a new majority leader to replace Tom DeLay before the State of the Union address. Speaker Dennis Hastert decided today to stick with a February 2nd caucus election. DeLay is facing trial in Texas on charges of laundering campaign funds. He said last weekend he would not try to get the job back. Supporters of Missouri Congressman Roy Blunt, currently the number 3 Republican Party whip in the House, called this week for holding the election before January 31st. Blunt has been acting as majority leader since DeLay's indictment. He wants the job, and he's in a race against Ohio Congressman John Boehner, chairman of the House Education and Workforce Committee. George Bush says planned congressional hearings on his domestic spying program would be, quote, good for democracy. At a town hall-style meeting in Louisville, Bush said he knows the once-secret program is controversial, but he defended it as constitutional. Soon after 9/11, Bush authorized the National Security Agency to intercept phone calls and emails between America and foreign countries. Bush says the Capitol Hill hearings would be positive as long as they don't get into the detailed workings of the NSA eavesdropping. He says that could tip off the terrorist enemy. Bush's words appear to signal a shift in the position. Previously, he said any hearings would give terrorists clues on how to adjust strategy. In Chile, an appeals court stripped General Augusto Pinochet of his legal immunity today. That ruling paves the way for the former dictator to stand trial on charges of responsibility for killing 2 bodyguards of the Marxist president he toppled in 1973. The ruling allows the judge handling the case to indict the 90-year-old retired general for allegedly killing 2 bodyguards of Salvador Allende back in the bloody coup in 1973. This is Air America Radio News.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here on Air America Radio. Thanks for tuning in. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Looks like we're going to do that again tonight. But if you had the opportunity to watch some of the Sammy the Goose Alito's confirmation hearings today, you saw Senators Kennedy and Spector get into it, get into a little petty argument over mail. You saw Lindsey Graham get choked up. You saw the Goose's wife sob out of the room. Joe Biden in a Princeton baseball cap. What's that about? Maybe to appease Alito or maybe to hide his latest hair transplant. Who knows? I didn't know if I was watching confirmation hearings of a U.S. Supreme Court justice or Days of Our Senators or The Bald and the Bigoted. Wow, man. We also have an update on the murder of semi-retired New York Times reporter David Rosenbaum in Washington, D.C. last Friday. Washington Post has another article about it. Some odd things now are starting to surface about this whole situation. And the person who sent me the email saying that Jerky and I were a little bit out there in the tinfoil hat area when we talked about this. Well, maybe. Maybe not. Did you know that former Bill Clinton was at the Bangor Maine International Airport the other night? Accidentally. Or it wasn't planned. When U.S. troops arriving from Iraq came through. Two flights carrying soldiers. Clinton was returning from Paris. I guess it was Monday night. He was returning from Paris when he met with French President Chirac to discuss plans for his charitable organization, Clinton's. It's called the Clinton Foundation. His plans, he landed at Bangor, Maine, I guess, for refueling. His plans for a quick departure were altered when a problem was discovered with the aircraft. Apparently there was a fire on board. There was smoke. Nobody knew what it was. Did you read anything about this in the paper? Hell no. Can you imagine? Oh, well, never mind. Can you imagine if it was Pappy Bush? It'd be another assassination attempt on his life by, Muammar Gaddafi or somebody. Anyway, so Clinton was there and these soldiers landed. So Clinton went over and got in line with some local troop greeters. You know, just people are out there saying, hey, guys. These are folks in Bangor, Maine who meet each plane that carries soldiers returning from overseas or leaving for duty. Apparently, Bangor, Maine is a de-embarkation point. Is that a word, Kathy? De-embarkation? I don't know. It's a leaving and coming back point. So Clinton was online. He shook hands, hugged a lot of the soldiers who hugged him back. He said, thank you for your service. He autographed hats, cards, other items. These soldiers were thrusting things. Sign this. About 600 soldiers came through the line. They were returning to bases in Oklahoma, Texas, and Georgia. Staff Sergeant Anthony Thompson told the Bangor Daily News, this is great. Meeting with Clinton. So can you imagine Bush doing something like this? Yeah. Now, Bush has to stay away from troops in a situation like that because those troops are coming home armed. When Bush appears in front of troops, they've had to check everything at the door, including their testicles. Don't dare say anything with the CINC up there. This was reported. This blew right by me. Somebody sent it to me tonight. This is back from November 19th, right before Thanksgiving, Chicago Tribune. Listen up. Less than a month after Oracle Corporation hired former Attorney General John Ashcroft's lobbying firm, the Justice Department notified Oracle that an antitrust inquiry into its proposed $5.8 billion acquisition of a rival database software firm had been dropped. You see how that works? So Ashcroft has put together, a lobbying firm. Now, that's very dignified for a former attorney general, isn't it, huh? He's a lobbyist now. That's right. So Oracle hired him. And they hired him just a couple of weeks before the Justice Department was about to open an investigation, an antitrust inquiry, it's referred to see just what kind of shenanigans Oracle was perpetrating in the closed and weird business of data mining. So right before the investigation, Oracle hires Ashcroft. The decision announced back in November when all this happened by the Justice Department was probably welcome news for Ashcroft's little lobbying and consulting career. And the Justice Department said the case was dropped based on the fact that there really was no reason to pursue. The Justice Department said the case was decided on its merits. And that means, oh, you got the Crisco kid, you got the anointing oil boy, you got that good fundamentalist Christian working for you. Oh, well then, hell, we'll just drop the investigation. As a lobbyist and consultant, Ashcroft may now see his clients with national security interests benefit from law enforcement and security policies he promoted while in office. Ashcroft encouraged greater government scrutiny of personal information in massive databases available in the private marketplace. Such databases are built by firms such as Oracle and filled by companies like ChoicePoint, another client of the Ashcroft firm. Ashcroft was also a champion of the Patriot Act, a law that created a wide range of new government powers in the name of countering terrorism. Ashcroft declined to comment to the Chicago Tribune. His firm also includes his former chief of staff, David Ayers, and Juliana Glover Weiss, a former press secretary to Vice President Dick Cheney. Weiss said, Ashcroft is, of course, one of the most knowledgeable people in the world in the antitrust and homeland security field, so it's just natural that companies like Oracle and ChoicePoint would approach him. ChoicePoint is a leading supplier of data to police and security agencies, including the FBI. And ChoicePoint has been under fire for well-publicized security breaches that allowed thieves to buy personal information, including, in some cases, social security numbers and criminal records of at least 160,000 people. ChoicePoint was also the data mining organization based here in Atlanta that wiped out thousands upon thousands upon thousands of voters in Florida, for no reason other than the fact that they were dark-skinned. Ooh. And they're now a client of John Ashcroft. In addition, ChoicePoint is at the center of a debate over the ground rules under which the FBI and other federal agencies should be able to access information on citizens who are not suspected of crimes. Well, we know how that's going to come out. If you're a citizen of the United States, your ass is grass, and the Bush administration is a huge lawnmower. They will do to you whatever they choose to. Data mining? Oh, please. Every time you have gas, they'll know about it. So who's in charge of lobbying for two of the companies that will be most involved in it? Why, of course, John Ashcroft. Who else would it be? ChoicePoint says they retained Ashcroft, quote, for business development, primarily in the Justice Department and the Department of Homeland Security. Ashcroft, the spokesman for ChoicePoint, Chuck Jones. He said, not only that, but Ashcroft will promote ChoicePoint technology for information sharing and data mining and data services used in combating crimes against children. That's what we're about. We're about crimes against... We're going to combat crimes against children. And we have this godly Christian lobbying for us now. Oh, the Lord does work in mysterious ways, his wonders to reveal.
Things and toys and stuff that punks can't buy. They got boom boxes blast. Big bass boats and cast and mortar tricks and truck. The new and should ever hope to try. They got four-wheel drives turning.
Sing it, John! Yeah!
Eyes on which you can't rely. There's just one thing satisfying. He's the one.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
No matter what you do, work can be stressful. And all that stress might cause you to grind your teeth at night. So why not go out and buy yourself a doctor's night guard, the dental protector you wear at night to cushion and save your teeth. Put all that grinding to a stop. Just like that. Relieve the nightly grind with the doctor's night guard. Now available in three sizes at Walgreens and other fine stores.
Hello. I am the Ricola Mystery Cougher. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, I'll reward you with $1,000, $100,000, maybe $1 million. But be warned, I can be a man
or a woman.
So keep your Ricola cough drops on hand.
For clues and official rules, go to RicolaUSA.com. No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game begins 10-105 and ends 2-28-06.
Ricola!
Flying Monkey Right Blues. Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. So, yeah, Ashcroft now has a lobbying firm. I think that's a good thing for a devout little self-anointing Christian like John Ashcroft, don't you? Huh? Yeah, I do too. Less than a month after Oracle Corporation hired him, the Justice Department notified Oracle that an inquiry into an antitrust inquiry into some of its business dealings had been dropped. Amazing. Ashcroft also has as one of his clients ChoicePoint, which is notorious for, first of all, not being able to maintain the security on its database that includes things about you that you wouldn't want anyone to know, but it's in there. In the case of Oracle, according to Ken Gluck, an Oracle senior vice president, Ashcroft, quote, provided us with internal advice and counsel. Yeah. Yeah, he did. A spokeswoman for the Justice Department, Gina Talamona, declined to discuss the department's reason for dropping the antitrust inquiry. But she said, quote, we made our decision to close the investigation based on the merits of the case. And the fact that John Ashcroft works there now, which was everybody got paid off, including me, to say this. Okay, I added that last part. Now, what's interesting, in 2004, you know, way back a million years ago, Ashcroft sued Oracle in an unsuccessful effort to stop the company's $10.3 billion bid to buy PeopleSoft Incorporated. Don't you love this? Don't you just want to smash somebody's forehead in? Don't you? According to lobbying records, Ashcroft and his firm registered to lobby on antitrust matters for Oracle on October 18th. This is just last October. Just days before the Justice Department requested additional information on Oracle's planned purchase of Siebel Systems, a company that specializes in software that helps businesses manage sales and other interactions with customers. Mr. Gluck, who is the spokesman for Oracle, said, he's a senior vice president, he said, I do not believe that the attorney general spoke with anyone outside the company about the antitrust implications. Gluck said that Ashcroft also will consult with Oracle on homeland security issues. Now, as you know, Oracle is a big funder of right-wing causes. They are just as Nazi as any company could possibly be. They're kind of like some of those German industrialists that didn't give a damn about you know, who was Chancellor of Germany, didn't even care who was sent to the ovens. All they cared about was huge profits and the ability to work unrestrained by anything as stupid as German laws where it concerned economic issues, trade, acquisitions, you know. Ah, come on, Mike, not another cheesy, cheap-shot Nazi comparison, huh? What else we got here? John Conyers, Bobby Scott, and Chris Van Hollen, these are all Democratic members of Congress, will hold a Democratic hearing Friday, January 20th, to consider the legal ramifications of Bush's warrantless surveillance on international phone calls of American citizens. This is according to rawstory.com. The January 20th Democratic hearings come in the wake, it says here, of a request from House Judiciary Committee Democrats to hold official congressional hearings on the matter. But the chairman of that committee, James Sensenbrenner, Republican from Wisconsin, has not even responded to the Democrats' request. What the hell is wrong with you people in Wisconsin? Why is this guy there? Why is Sensenbrenner there? In the Senate, Judiciary Committee Chairman Arlen Specter has said he would hold hearings on the illegal taps, but he's not scheduled anything. Conyers, the ranking Democrat on the Judiciary Committee, said he felt the need to hold his own hearings after his Republican counterpart said, go screw yourself, black man. Well, I don't know if he said that, but that's sort of feeling he gets. Conyers said last month all 17 House Judiciary Democrats called on Sensenbrenner to convene hearings to investigate the president's use of the National Security Agency to conduct surveillance involving U.S. citizens on U.S. soil in apparent contravention of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. As our request has since been ignored, Conyers said, it is our job as members of Congress to review the program and consider whether our criminal laws have been violated and our citizens' constitutional rights trampled upon. He added, we simply cannot tolerate a situation where the administration is operating as prosecutor, judge, and jury and excluding Congress and the courts from providing any meaningful check or balance to the process. Now, what is interesting, those who have said they will attend Conyers' hearing as witnesses for the prosecution, I guess a way to put it, include former Reagan Associate Deputy Attorney General Bruce Fein. Remember him? A strange little pinched-up looking man who built his career, his television career, back in the late 90s in going after Clinton because Clinton committed perjury about a bit of oral sex. How come I can say oral sex but not blowjob? What is the difference here? I don't quite get that. I'm sure there is. Okay, I'm sure there is something. Anyway, Bruce Fein will be there. George Washington Law School professor Jonathan Turley, who you see all over television, and former CIA General Counsel Jeff Smith will be among the people who will be witnesses for the prosecution.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Honey?
Yeah?
Can you keep the kids busy? I'm doing our taxes.
Oh, that's right. We're using TurboTax this year.
Mm-hmm. And it's so easy. TurboTax asks these simple questions, and it automatically fills in all the right forms.
Really?
Uh-huh. TurboTax also checks for errors, and calculations are guaranteed accurate.
Well, what about deductions?
Found ones I didn't even think of.
Like those little tax deductions jumping on the sofa?
What?
The kids.
No, I remembered them.
TurboTax. Taxes made easy. Taxes done right. Learn more at TurboTax.com or visit a retailer near you.
One in four adults has high blood pressure. If you're one of them and you have a cold, Coricidin HBP has surprising news for you. The American Heart Association recognizes that decongestants found in many leading cold medicines can raise your blood pressure and interfere with blood pressure medication. So why risk it? Only decongestant-free Coricidin HBP provides a line of safe, powerful cold and flu medication specially formulated for people with high blood pressure. So make the safe choice. Coricidin HBP. Use as directed.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, "We eliminate the middleman"? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Tina, your face is all red. Are you okay?
I'm fine. It's just hot in here.
Hot? We're in the freezer aisle, Tina. You're having a hot flash.
Hot flash? Menopause? But I'm still getting my period.
It's not menopause yet,
but it could be changing hormones. When I got my first flash, my pharmacist told me to start taking Estrovin. Estrovin is all natural and can help reduce hot flashes, night sweats, and irritability.
I'm not irritable.
Right. And you don't need a prescription. It's in the vitamin aisle.
Let's go get Estrovin now.
Hot flashes? It's just your body telling you it's time for Estrovin. Use as directed.
Patron Sneakers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, more of Mike Malloy.
All right. 26 before the hour. The Alito hearings today. It's just getting curiouser and curiouser. The sad part is, unless you and I prevail upon Democratic senators to filibuster, that's the only way to stop this nomination. If it goes to a vote, he will be confirmed. It has to be filibustered. If that is not done, then that's kind of it, truth seekers. You know, I think I'm being a little dramatic with that statement. Let's do Ted Kennedy and Alito today on Alito's strangely faulty memory of being involved in a racist, bigoted, misogynistic group at Princeton. This was the exchange that then prompted actually the most juicy drama of the day, the exchange between Kennedy and Spector.
I had wanted to just wind up on a few more brief questions on this, but I have to say that Judge Alito, that his explanations about the membership in this sort of radical group and why you listed it on your job application are extremely troubling. In fact, I don't think that they add up. Last month, I sent a letter to Senator Spector asking a number of questions about your membership in CAP. I asked Senator Spector to make a formal committee request for the documents in the possession of the Library of Congress as part of the William Rusher papers. Mr. Rusher was the publisher of the National Review, was an active founder and leader of CAP. Do you have any hesitancy or reason for us not to look at those documents?
They're not my documents, Senator, and I have no...
You think they would be helpful to us?
Whatsoever.
You think they'd be helpful?
As Senator, I don't believe I had any active involvement with this group.
Well,
I've racked my memory, and I can't recall anything.
Oh, my goodness. Well, our attorney friend in St. Paul, Mike, writes, as a concerned citizen, I have to ask whether attention to detail and a reliable memory are two of the essential characteristics that are needed to provide quality and ethical legal services, such as serving as a justice. That question, having an obvious answer, I believe Mr. Alito's claim that he doesn't remember anything about CAP leaves the country damned if he is lying and damned if he's telling the truth. That is, when Alito is confirmed, we will have a justice on the Supreme Court who is either a bigot or without some of the fundamental characteristics required to be a judge, such as attention to detail and reliable memory. If you want my opinion, as a lawyer, I think Mr. Alito is lying. He must possess a keen intellect, superior ability to notice details, and a sharp memory. Otherwise, he could not have graduated near the top of his class at Princeton and Yale, nor could he have passed the bar, a very rigorous exercise that tests not only knowledge of the law, but memory, reading comprehension, and attention to detail. Further, working in the executive branch was obviously an extremely important goal for Mr. Alito. To become a Justice Department lawyer in the Reagan administration carried with it great honor and prestige. Are we to believe that Mr. Alito carelessly listed CAP on his Justice Department application without knowing what that organization was about? To quote a very entertaining and, dare I say, wise talk show host, Bat Squeeze! Bill Frist and Bill Bradley knew what CAP stood for, so why not Alito? You bet your ass he's lying. Mike in St. Paul. It's just incredible, isn't it, huh? To watch Sammy the Goose sit there and go through these gyrations. So now Kennedy wants to go into an executive session to subpoena the Alito documents pertinent to his boasting of being a member of CAP, you know, the application to join the Reagan Justice Department. And the drama. Do we have some drama music? We don't? Huh? All right. Later, she says. The drama between Spector and Kennedy begins.
Mr. Chairman, if I could have your attention, I think we ought to vote on issuing a subpoena to the custodian of those CAP records. And I want to do that at an appropriate time. I'd move that the committee go into executive session for the purpose of voting on the issuing of the sole purpose for issuing the subpoena of those records.
Well, we'll consider that, Senator Kennedy.
Well,
there are there are many, many requests which are coming to me in many quarters. And quite candidly, I view the requests, if it's really a matter of importance, you and I see each other all the time, and you've never mentioned it to me. And I do not ascribe a great deal of weight. We actually didn't get a letter, but...
You did get a letter, are you saying?
Well, now, wait a minute. You don't know what I got. I'm about
to... Of course I do, sir, Senator, since I sent it.
Well, the sender doesn't necessarily know what the recipient gets, Senator Kennedy. You are not in the position to say what I receive. If you'll bear with me for just 1 minute.
But I am in a position to say what I sent to you on December 22nd.
You're in a position to tell me what you sent.
I renew my request, Senator, and if I'm going to be denied, then I'd appeal the decision of the chair. I think we are entitled to this information. It deals with the fundamental issues of equality and discrimination. This nominee has indicated he has no objection to us seeing these issues. We've gone over the questions, and we are entitled to get that kind of information. And if you're going to rule it out of order, I want to have a vote on that here on our committee.
Well, don't be premature, Senator Kennedy. I'm not about to make a ruling on this state of the record. I hope you won't mind if I consider it, and I hope you won't mind if I give you the specifics that there was no letter which I received. I take umbrage that you're telling me what I received. I don't mind your telling me what you mailed. But there's a big difference between what's mailed and what's received, and you know that.
God.
We're
going
to move on now.
Oh, man, the Republic is crumbling around our feet. The Bush cabal is threatening all the liberties in the Constitution. They're arguing about mail. Well, not they. I mean, Kennedy's not arguing. Poor Arlen Specter. See, he's trying to reestablish his hard right bona fides, which he never had. You know, because remember, the Nazis in the Senate wanted to deny Specter his turn in the normal rotation in the Senate to be the chairman of the Judiciary Committee because they didn't trust him. You know, Specter is a pro-choice Republican. So what he's doing here, obviously, that's why this whole thing has turned into just the most, ridiculous of soap operas. Kennedy is making points, absolute points of order, is that what you call it? Working within the rules and the framework of this committee. And Arlen here is just getting his bloomers in a wad, or pretending to, because he's got to reestablish himself as a right winger. Moving on, last bit of fun and frivolity with Kennedy and Specter here. Here's Kennedy again.
Well, Senator Mr. Chairman, I'd appeal the ruling of the chair on this.
There's been no ruling of the chair, Senator.
Well, what
Kennedy.
Is the? My request is that we go into the executive session for the sole purpose of voting on a subpoena for these records that are held over at the Library of Congress. For that purpose and that purpose only. And if
well,
I'm going to be denied that, I'd want to give notice to the chair that you're going to have it again and again and again, and we're going to have votes of this committee again and again and again until we have a resolution.
Senator Kennedy, I'm not concerned about your threats to have votes again, again, and again.
Bitch!
And I'm the chairman of this committee, and I have heard your request, and I will consider it.
Bitch!
And I'm not going to have you run this committee and decide when we're going to go into executive session.
Bitch!
We're in the middle of a round of hearings. This is the first time you have personally called it to my attention, and this is the first time that I have focused on it.
Bitch!
And I will consider it in due course. And now we'll move to Senator Grassley for 20 minutes.
Bitch! Man. Unbelievable.
I kept waiting for the cast of Dynasty to come out and start clawing at each other's hair and toppling down hills and
well, that's coming. Well, it's coming. Do we have any music now? We have some music. Let's hear some music. Did she cry and weep when her husband said it was cool to strip search a 10-year-old girl? Did she cry and weep when her husband joined an organization that demonized gays and dark-skinned people? Does she cry for her country at night when she learns her husband would end our system of self-government and replace it with fascism? Does she cry when her husband swears under oath he will recuse himself from any case involving his mutual funds company? And then she hears the cases, she hears that the cases anyway, thus revealing himself as a liar. Does she cry when she discovers her husband is a suck-up to power and will say anything to get close to it? And does she cry, does she weep, as she listens to her husband denying truth after truth just so he can get a permanent job? Here's the part of our soap opera where Martha Ann starts sobbing and had to leave the room, causing Lindsey Graham to get all choked up too. Let me get this straight. She doesn't get to exercise about strip-searching 10-year-olds, but she cries because her hubby's background in a racist, misogynistic white boys' club is exposed. What's wrong with these Republicans?
If you don't mind, the suspicious nature that I have is that you may be saying that because you want to get on the Supreme Court. That you're disavowing this now because it doesn't look good. And really what I would look at to see if to believe you or not, I'm going to be very honest with you, is how have you lived your life? Are you really a closet bigot?
I'm not any kind of a bigot.
No, sir, you're not. And you know why I believe that? Not because you just said it, but that's a good enough reason because you seem to be a decent, honorable man.
You do.
I've got reams of quotes from people who have worked with you, African-American judges,
you know, colored,
glowing quotes about who you are, the way you've lived your life.
I love you.
Law clerks, men and women,
boys
black
and girls,
and white,
black and white.
Your colleagues who say that Sam Alito, whether I agree with him or not, is a really good man.
Yes.
And you know why I believe you when you say that you disavow those quotes?
Why?
Because the way you have lived your life and the way you and your wife are raising your children. Let me tell you, this guilt by association is going to drive good men and women away from wanting to sit where you're sitting. Judge Alito, I am sorry that you've had to go through this. I am sorry that your family has had to sit here and listen to this.
Oh, God. Oh. All right, we're going to pause here for a break because I just have to go blow my nose.
It's not easy to get a handle on my life, but I have tried it time and time again. But I still cry just like a baby.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
This is Sansara Taylor with The World Can't Wait, Drive Out the Bush Regime. As the world is threatened with a darkness so great that villages shook, houses collapsed, torture dungeons are built and photos are snapped, where are you? As abortion is criminalized and women are shamed, as gays are demonized and immigrants are blamed, and the president lied and spied, where are you? As science is pulled under and religion is made law, as New Orleans is abandoned and the polar ice caps thaw, where are you? History is turning. We either get Bush's future or a future we fight for and forge ourselves. You are needed now. Tuesday, January 31st, during Bush's State of the Union address, protests across the country, we demand Bush step down. Then Saturday, February 4th, get to Washington, D.C. Bush lied, Bush spied, Bush stepped down. Find us today, worldcantwait.org, 866-973-4463.
We'll be right back.
We're so sorry. We're so sorry, Judge Alito. You know, you bring your wife in here. This is supposed to be a hearing for us men. You know, we're doing the business of Republican here. We don't like women, just like you didn't like them back when you were, you know, that cap thing that Kennedy keeps wanting to get information about. But I'll tell you what, Senator, or no, you're a judge. Judge, I'm the senator. I'm Lindsey Graham. I don't know what to say. The mean old Democrats are trying to actually hold you to account for your racist, bigoted past. Instead of just passing you through without any oversight like we Republicans are going to do. Oh, the sons of bitches, Judge. I'm sorry your family has had to sit here and listen to this. Where's your wife? Oh, did she go out to the toilet? Oh, okay. Karl Rove's out there waiting for her. He's got a whole box of Kleenex for it. God, this is just, I don't know. I just don't know, Judge. I don't know what's happening to America, you know. We have a hearing in here to find out if somebody's qualified, to find out about their racism and their bigotry. Excuse me just a second. Guilt by association. Oh, son of a bitch. Whoever came up with that. Hold on a second, Judge. We didn't expect any of this the other night, did we, Judge, when we had the rehearsal? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Oh, Senator Kennedy, go screw yourself. I got two words for you. Mary Jo Kopechne. Now get out on it, get away. Oh, Judge. And you know, Ed Gillespie, who's been sitting behind you over there, all through these hearings, you know, the former RNC chairman coughing every time he thinks that you're supposed to stop talking. Even Ed had tears in his eyes. And you know, I know it's sincere. Ed's makeup is running. Oh, Jesus, is all. I don't know what to do. Oh, I don't know what to do. We're just good Christians trying to, I don't know, trying to save America. Oh, Judge, you love your children. I know you do, Judge. Oh, and then I hear that piss Aunt Malloy over there at Air Communism is calling you Sammy the Goose Alito. Oh, where's your wife? Is she still crying? Okay, another couple of minutes of this and we can stop. Questions. Oh, the questions. You know why I believe you when you say you don't remember anything? Because of the way you lived your life and the way you and your old lady are raising your wife. I'm sorry, raising your children. Let me tell you this, Judge. Guilt by association is going to drive good men and women away from wanting to sit where you're sitting. By the way, you got any oil on your butt over there? You know, we had three or four people come in here the other day and smear. Holy, oh, never mind. It's a whole different story, Judge. Judge, we got to take another break here. I can't stand this. I just can't stand it. Questions.
Join us tomorrow, Truth Seekers, for another episode of The Bald and the Bigoted.
Malloy on Air America Radio. This is the Nation Minute on Air America Radio.
This Wednesday, some 30 years after Watergate, a leader in the impeachment of Richard Nixon, former member of the House Judiciary Committee Elizabeth Holtzman, returns to the national stage to make the case for impeachment again, this time against George W. Bush. Her cover article in this week's Nation is so powerful because it is sober and informed by her personal experience. Quote, I can still remember the sinking feeling in the pit of my stomach. Holtzman writes, during those Watergate proceedings, when it became clear that the president had so systematically abused the powers of the presidency and so threatened the rule of law that he had to be removed from office. Holtzman understood then and understands today that impeachment is the most extreme constitutional act in a democracy, a last resort. But today, she argues, President Bush has virtually dared Congress to stop him from violating the law, and nothing less than impeachment is necessary to protect our constitutional system and preserve our democracy. For those citizens who wish to preserve our democracy, please read and circulate Elizabeth Holtzman's Nation article. It's available Wednesday night at thenation.com. I'm Katrina VandenHeuvel, editor of The Nation for Air America.
No matter what you do, work can be stressful. And all that stress might cause you to grind your teeth at night. So why not go out and buy yourself a doctor's night guard, the dental protector you wear at night to cushion and save your teeth. Put all that grinding to a stop. Just like that. Relieve the nightly grind with the doctor's night guard. Now available in three sizes at Brooks Pharmacy, Eckerd Pharmacy, and other fine stores.
One in four adults has high blood pressure. If you're one of them and you have a cold, Coricidin HBP has surprising news for you. The American Heart Association recognizes that decongestants found in many leading cold medicines can raise your blood pressure and interfere with blood pressure medication. So why risk it? Only decongestant-free Coricidin HBP provides a line of safe, powerful cold and flu medication specially formulated for people with high blood pressure. So make the safe choice. Coricidin HBP. Use as directed.
America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. Most people around the country are reportedly not paying very close attention to the corruption scandal involving lobbyist Jack Abramoff. A new poll found that fewer than one in five Americans, 18%, say they're paying very close attention to the scandal. Abramoff pleaded guilty and is cooperating in a wide-ranging bribery investigation that could involve up to 20 members of Congress and their aides. According to the Pew Research Center for the People in the Press poll, about 20% said they were watching it fairly closely. Roughly 60% said they were not paying very much attention to the story. Other matters, about half, 47%, said they were paying very close attention to the mining tragedy in West Virginia. 33% said they were watching that fairly closely. 4 in 10 said they were following the situation in Iraq very closely. Only 1/3 following the news of domestic wiretaps very closely. The confirmation hearings for Judge Sam Alito to be on the Supreme Court also drawing fairly limited attention. 14% say they're watching very closely, 23% saying fairly closely. House Republican leaders today rejected calls to move up the election of a new majority leader to replace Tom DeLay before the State of the Union address. Speaker Dennis Hastert decided today to stick with a February 2nd caucus election. DeLay is facing trial in Texas on charges of laundering campaign funds. He said last weekend he would not try to get the job back. Supporters of Missouri Congressman Roy Blunt, currently the number three Republican Party whip in the House, called this week for holding the election before January 31st. Blunt has been acting as majority leader since DeLay's indictment. He wants the job, and he's in a race against Ohio Congressman John Boehner, chairman of the House Education and Workforce Committee. George Bush says planned congressional hearings on his domestic spying program would be, quote, good for democracy. At a town hall-style meeting in Louisville, Bush said he knows the once-secret program is controversial, but he defended it as constitutional. Soon after 9/11, Bush authorized the National Security Agency to intercept phone calls and emails. between America and foreign countries. Bush says the Capitol Hill hearings would be positive as long as they don't get into the detailed workings of the NSA eavesdropping. He says that could tip off the terrorist enemy. Bush's words appear to signal a shift in the position. Previously, he said any hearings would give terrorists clues on how to adjust strategy. In Chile, an appeals court stripped General Augusto Pinochet of his legal immunity today. That ruling paves the way for the former dictator to stand trial on charges of responsibility for killing two bodyguards of the Marxist president he toppled in 1973. The ruling allows the judge handling the case to indict the 90-year-old retired general for allegedly killing two bodyguards of Salvador Allende back in the bloody coup in 1973. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. I swear to God, I'm so sick of these Republicans. I could just, I don't know. I could scream. This little bit today with Mrs. Alito. You know, how many people go to their husband, how many women go to their husband's job interviews, for Christ's sake? But, you know, this is, This is an obscenity. This whole thing, it's a farce and it's an obscenity. To sit this neo-Nazi down there, this Sammy the Goose Alito, this latest made man in the Bush crime family, and everybody pretend that he's going through a confirmation hearing as proscribed by the Constitution, where the Senate has the right, the duty, the obligation to offer advice and consent where it concerns the executive's nominations. So there they sit. Joe Biden, somebody ought to just give him lots of money and send him off to some South Sea Island to play for the rest of his life and continue to have his hair implants. What a waste of Democratic DNA Joe Biden is. He's another one. Oh, my God. He's right there with Hillary and Lieberman and the rest of these people. I don't know. I really don't. I listened to Sam Brownback the other day. I watched these smarmy bastards sit there with this supercilious, just smug smirk on their faces. Hey, we're in control of everything. We'll play the game. But Alito is going to be our next Supreme Court justice, and then we get to slam the door on all of you justice-seeking half-wits. This is America 2006. This is fascism. And remember, you can live quite well under fascism if you're not one of the targeted populations. Huh? If you are not a targeted population, fascism is great. There's no dissent, no argument, no demonstrations, no nothing but absolute lockstep or goose step. Lockstep marching to the tune of the Pied Piper. It's very easy. You live a good life. No problems. You have an army someplace that goes off and kills people and opens up new markets and steals stuff. But you don't have to worry about it. Well, you know, they may conscript your son or your daughter, but, you know, other than that, you know, the freedom ain't free, dude. So here we are. It's such a joke, isn't it? It's such a joke. Now, are the Democrats going to filibuster? I keep hearing little teases, even from Lieberman, even from Uncle Joe Lieberman. And he said the other day that he wasn't ruling out the possibility of perhaps maybe, could be, don't know, of a filibuster. He had to hear more. He had to hear more. Okay. But this phony-ass crap today with this Alito's wife sitting there weeping. And then Lindsey Graham. What's up with these Republicans? What is this, huh? These are not men. We discussed this the other night. These are boys stuck in some arrested developmental stage. And they just can't get past it. And when pressed on their arrested development, they say, oh, well, I don't remember that, Senator. I don't remember. I keep waiting for Alito to just lay down on the floor and kick his heels and slap his hands against the floor in the Senate hearing room. I don't remember. I'm not listening. Inspector bitching out Kennedy about a piece of mail. You want to know the truth about the piece of mail that's posted? A Democratic underground already saw it. A whole timeline. Specter's a liar. Kennedy's telling the truth. And the staffs of both of these senators know exactly what the truth is. But like I said, Specter had to sit there today and beat up on Ted Kennedy so he could reestablish his conservative credentials. Because remember, like we said, they, you know, the Frist and the rest of the Nazis were already squatting in the United States Senate, wanted to deny Specter his rightful position as chairman of the House Senate Judiciary Committee. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people? So I just want to, just one more time, does Mrs. Alito cry and weep when her husband said it was cool to strip search a 10-year-old girl? Jesus Christ. How'd that make you feel, Miss Alito, when your husband said, no, that's okay, go ahead. 10 years old. Take her clothes off. Take her dress off and her panties. Jesus Christ. Did Mrs. Alito cry and weep when her husband joined an organization that demonized gays and people of color and then put it proudly on his application to work in the Reagan crime family? Oh, yeah, I was a member of the, you know, the CAP over there at Princeton. We had to keep the Negroes and the bitches out, you know. We went all white males, you know, a real homogeneous group. You should pardon the expression. Well, there, you know, there was a little grab ass in the shower room once in a while, but nothing real serious. Okay, maybe a little serious. Well, all right. Some of us got carried away. Man drives a truck one time, you don't call him a truck driver. But let a couple of guys get it on, and they're queer for the rest of their life. Now, damn it.
Did she cry for her country at night when she learns that her husband would end our system of self-government and replace it with definable fascism? Does that make Ms. Alito cry? Do you cry then? Huh? Does she cry when her husband swears under oath at a previous confirmation hearing that, oh, yes, I will recuse myself from any case involving the company that runs my mutual funds? And then Mrs. Alito becomes aware that her husband hears the cases anyway, thus revealing himself as a liar, if not a retroactive perjurer. Does that make her cry? Does she cry about that? Does she cry when she discovers that her husband is nothing more than a twitty little Princeton graduate suck up to power who will say anything, anything, to get close to that power and maybe have some of it slop over on him? And does she cry as she listens to her husband denying truth after truth after truth so he can get a permanent job?
I'm gonna be a Supreme Court justice, sweetheart. Now, remember what Carl said when we get in there tomorrow. These sons of bitches are really coming after me. I want you to sit there, sweetheart. And when Ed Gillespie does the double cough, the single coughs are to cue me when he goes. But when he does the double cough, that's time for you to start pulling at your eyes and weeping. Can you whip up some tears for me, honey? Can you do that just a little for Daddy? Come on, let me see. Let me see the tears. Oh, I love you so much. I love you so much. Will you spank me again tonight, sweetheart? You know how much I love that. Huh?
God. From Adam, I understand Mrs. Alito did a dramatic crying exit off stage today. Why the hell is this woman at her husband's job interview? How many of us go to our husband's job interview? Secondly, just like Sammy himself, she was rehearsed because it would make great shots played on the television over and over and over again for the Bush fools. She's a fraud, just like her husband. And, you know, the media will continuously focus on that one shot of the poor damsel in distress, weakless, helpless, weak female in tears. She probably ran off and started laughing her ass off. Well, okay, Adam, thanks. Appreciate the email. I don't know. I'm just when I think I can't be just absolutely blown away by any more activities by the Bush crime family, something like today comes up, and I'm amazed.
I've got no time to cry.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
This is Mark Crispin Miller.
The world can't wait to drive out the Bush regime. On January 31st, Bush will give his State of the Union address. But we can say right now that the Union is in a state of emergency. The Bush regime is out to remake the world. An Orwellian police state, endless war, religious tyranny, no dissent, no free thought, a ruined planet. This regime is immoral, unjust, unelected, and indictably criminal, and we must stop it. On Tuesday, January 31st, during Bush's State of the Union address, we will mount protests all across the country. We will demand that Bush step down. Then, on Saturday, February 4th, join us in Washington, D.C., and we will bring our demand right to the White House. Bush lied. Bush spied. Bush must step down. Find us today, worldcantwait.org, 866-973-4463.
Yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 22 past the hour. I remember when that song was popular. Oh my God, I was in high school. That was so long ago. That's what these people are, these Republicans. I've never seen anything like this. These Republicans, what is it, 10 of them that sit on the Senate Judiciary Committee, it's, I don't know. Now, while we're focusing on the unintentional comedy and the melodrama and the soap opera-like quality of these hearings, over at Daily Kos, they have published, this was this evening, it's from the Patriot Daily News Clearinghouse, it's carried on Daily Kos right now. Bush wants to create a new criminal offense, disruptor, who can be jailed for the crime of disruptive behavior. Says here, a little notice provision in the latest version of the Patriot Act will empower Secret Service to charge protesters with the new crime of, quote, disrupting major events, including political conventions and the Olympics, end quote. Secret Service would also be empowered to charge persons with, quote, breaching security, end quote, and to charge people with, quote, entering a restricted area, end quote, which is, quote, where the president or other person protected by the Secret Service is or will be temporarily visiting, end quote. In short, be sure to stay in those wired fence containments or, you know, free speech zones. Now, as Daily Kos has from Patriot Daily News Clearinghouse, who is the disruptor that they're referring to here? Well, Bush team history, the Bush crime family history, tells us the disruptor is an American citizen with the audacity to attend Bush events wearing a T-shirt that criticizes Bush. Or a member of a civil rights, or an environmental, or an anti-war, or a counter-recruiting group who wants to protest Bush policies. Or a person who invades Bush's bubble by criticizing his policies. A disruptor is also a person who interferes in someone else's activity, such as interrupting Bush when he's speaking at a press conference or during an interview. You better go check this out, Truth Seekers, dailykos.com. It's today. Headline is Bush decriminalized protesters under Patriot Act as disruptors. You still don't think we're just a silly millimeter away from the implementation of American fascism? Oh, it's not going to look like Italy's or Spain's or Singapore's or...
Hey!
What the hell was that? Well, you just knocked about 5 years off my life with that. Did that go to the air? Did it? It might have been somebody getting caned in Singapore. Oh, it might have been the little party they're having for Alito. Jesus, that scared me, Madam Producer. Anyway, go to dailykos.com and check this out. It's today's it's the latest that he has up, and here we are. And as I was saying before, that monster screamed at me, no, it's not Singapore, no, it's not Japan, it's not France, it's not Spain, it's not Germany, not Italy. It will be a unique brand of fascism / corporatism / totalitarianism, unless... It feels to me, with the House of Abramoff about to collapse, with DeLay about to become somebody's bitch in prison, and be defeated when he runs for re-election, because when they gerrymandered Texas, when DeLay engineered the gerrymandering, the switching of all these districts in Texas, what they did, since they figured they would maintain control forever, the Republicans, they moved a bunch of Democrats into what is now Tom DeLay's district. So the intense irony here is there's a good possibility that DeLay will be the seventh person gerrymandered out of a job. The first six were Democrats. Wouldn't that be funny? But with all these scandals, Bob Ney in Ohio is about to be indicted on criminal charges. And now we find out that this son of a bitch was heavily involved with Diebold. Right? It's just, you know, there's reason to not stop breathing right now. There's reason to say, well, Maybe not yet. Maybe it's going to be like the Saturday afternoon movies that you used to attend when you were a kid, the serials. Remember those? Episode 26. And the hero would trip and stumble. It was as he was running across the peak of the roof of the barn, and it would pitch into what appeared to be a fiery haystack. And you'd sit there going, "No!" And the episode would end. And next Saturday, you would see that he really landed in a wagon next to the burning haystack, and he was still alive.
Freedom isn't free tonight.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
No matter what you do, work can be stressful, and all that stress might cause you to grind your teeth at night. So why not go out and buy yourself a doctor's night guard, the dental protector you wear at night to cushion and save your teeth, to put all that grinding to a stop. Just like that. Whew. Relieve the nightly grind with the doctor's night guard, now in 3 sizes at CVS and other stores.
My name's Brian, and I've been suffering from psoriasis for over 15 years. And this product, Skin Zinc, it actually works. I love it because there's no steroids. You just spray it on, and it works. It's like having brand new skin.
I'm Janine, and I just want to tell everyone out there that Skin Zinc is amazing. I don't itch. Look, I'm in a T-shirt and shorts. I finally have a social life again. Just try it. It works. Believe me.
My name is Mark, and I've used everything there is to treat the dry, flaky skin on my arms. Skin Zinc's helped. I don't know why doctors don't have this, but I'm telling you, they don't.
After using Skin Zinc, it's completely cleared up. Skin Zinc is phenomenal.
I tried Skin Zinc, and in about 1 week, I noticed that the rashes on my arms were going away. It works better than anything I've ever used, period.
Call right now for your in-home 30-day risk-free trial of Skin Zinc at 800-507-5896. That's 800-507-5896. Skin Zinc helps you eliminate psoriasis. Call 800-507-5896. Call now and get relief. 800-507-5896.
Hello. I am the Ricola Mystery Coffer. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, I'll reward you with $1,000, $100,000, maybe $1 million. But be warned, I can be a man
or a woman.
So keep your Ricola cough drops on hand.
For clues and official rules, go to RicolaUSA.com. No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game begins 10-105 and ends 2-2806.
Ricola! We'll be right back.
bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
Sister, who's the only one? Say, little sister, who's the Superman? Say, little sister, who's the one you want?
Three,
little sister, shotgun.
Six, seven, eight.
Start again.
It's about 25 before the hour. I'm sorry. A couple of emails here from Sally. Mike, listening to you is some comfort. I'm so freaking scared about what's happening. I feel sick to my stomach. I'd like to know what you think about all the apparent apathy in this country, not just about the Supreme Court nominee, but every other crime that's been committed by the rat bastards, as you call them. If people were awake at all, they'd be shouting in the streets. I think it's that at least half the country is on antidepressants and out of it, or is this indeed a nation populated largely by morons? Ever read Escape from Freedom by Eric Fromm? I think it was about why people appear to prefer fascism to freedom. We're in the twilight zone, man. Carry on, Sally. I have not read that. I think it's Eric Fromm that she's referring to. But I have seen it, quotes from it. And yes, we've talked about this so many times. About the inclination of people, black, white, Jew, Gentile, gay, straight, whatever, to incline, that's good, toward fascism. You know, small f, doesn't have to be goose-stepping death camps or baton death marches or Guernica. You know, it can be just small f fascism. Don't have to think. Buy stuff, go to work, come home. Buy stuff, go to work, come home. Oh, the elections were last week? Okay, buy stuff, go to work, come home. When these half-wits, these right-wing monkeys say freedom isn't free, they really don't know what they're saying. I mean, that's cute. What they're talking about is, well, freedom's not free, so your son has to go die so that I can buy stuff, wake up, go to work. Yeah, there is a human disinclination toward freedom. It's pretty scary. And when you have somebody like Rove and the Bush crime family who understands this essential characteristic of us herd-like human beings, the Bush crime family, just like the Hitler crime family, it's so easy to figure out. What's hard? This is not hard stuff. This is not difficult. This is what the framers were talking about in this country. This is what, when they worked out the documents, they must have all sat around and said, Jesus, this will last about 5 years after we're dead, right? And they said, here, take it. See what you can do with it. Because they understood. Julius Caesar understood. Alexander the Great understood. Genghis Khan understood. Hitler understood. FDR understood. Stalin understood. Margaret Thatcher. Idi Amin. Every single world leader, I don't care what system produces him or her. Golda Meir, it doesn't matter. They understand. Freedom, liberty, scares the bejesus out of people. Okay, the B. Moses. Okay, the B. Muhammad. Whatever. Scares him to death. And the mark of a really, really, really brilliant dictator, which Bush isn't, is the ability to slide your entire population into fascism quietly. Incrementally. No brown shirts, no SS, no marching down the street, no drum thumping, no death's head on the cap of the uniform, no youth organizations chanting songs to the fatherland. No. Quietly. With things like
Oh, No Child Left Behind, or Reforming Social Security, or, oh, I know, here's a good one, Medicare Insurance Benefit. You toss that stuff out and you watch the people gnash and tear and rip at each other because it's not working. Charter schools. Oh, and don't forget to inject religious, not just religious anger, but confusion. War on Christmas! Christ, they're trying to kill our Lord and Savior! You do it with that kind of stuff. You don't send the troops down Madison Avenue or Michigan Avenue or Peachtree Street. No. Oh, that's so 20th century. You do it quietly. You put people like Sammy the Goose Alito on the Supreme Court. And Big Tony and Uncle Clarence. Quietly. From our night crew in Houston, Texas. Hi, Mr. Malloy. Of course his wife cried. It was perfect. She must have made faces before her mirror for hours so she could put on the best show for the court. I mean, the cameras. The crying is done all the time in divorce court or when someone is trying to get something for free. We love your show, and there are four of us tonight. Cheryl, Kathleen, Florina, and Clarissa. Well, hi, girls. From Rosalind, hi, Mike. Though I live in Canada, I feel it's very important to keep abreast of the news down south. So though I can barely stomach him like you can't, I watched a bit of Wolf Blitzer this afternoon commenting with his two right-wing cohorts on the hearings. He was trying to convince people that the liberals, not the Democrats, the liberals were maybe out of step with Americans. Blitzer said that the U.S. has moved toward the right, but the liberals hadn't noticed. I thought the media were not supposed to take positions, not publicly anyway. Blitzer doesn't even bother to hide whose side he's on anymore. He routinely goes after Democrats and puts the onus on them, but never the Republicans, of course. And how about those hearings? Just a farce. I have never seen this kind of behavior anywhere else. It's very bizarre, and it creeps me out. Rosalind. Okay. Let's do some phone calls. Phone calls, all right? Let's start with Barbara, who's calling in from Billingham, Washington. Hey, Barbara.
You're doing a heck of a job, Mikey.
Well, thank you, Barbara. Barbie.
Oh, golly. The outrage of the day is George Bush's signing into law a bill passed by both houses of Congress, and then accompanying his signed bill with what he has tagged a statement.
Yeah, what's a signing statement?
A statement of finding.
Yeah.
I'm not going to obey
right.
this in the law I just signed.
And you know what's really funny is he doesn't write that stuff. You know, maybe Harriet Myers writes it for him or Karl Rove. But he signs that along with the bill, which says essentially, I don't give a tinker's damn what I just signed. I'm not going to abide by it. I'm not going to follow it.
Exactly.
Isn't that great?
Is
that Hitlerian or what?
What else can they do to usurp our form of government? Because they're definitely not following it. We have left our Congress on automatic pilot too long.
Well, we've left our participation in self-government on automatic pilot too long. You know, I have to say, I've got so many footprints on my own ass, and it's the same shape as my own shoes. So I've kicked myself about this many, many times, but we allowed this to happen. You know, nobody invaded America Newt Gingrich and Bill Frist and Tom DeLay, these are not people from a foreign country that have come here to destroy us. These are people, and we were warned about this, that the real threat to American democracy would come from within and not from without. And here it is. And we've allowed it to happen. I don't know if it's too late or not, Barbara, to reverse it. I hope it's not too late. But whatever hell that we find ourselves on the brink of, we have put ourselves there.
I know, but people are getting themselves informed, and you're making a heck of a contribution.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. Barbara, got a boogie. Thanks for checking in. Take care.
Decisions.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Know the greatest phrase ever invented in shopping? No, it's not, I'll just wait in the car. The greatest phrase is, no thanks, I'm just looking. I mean, what freedom, what liberation. What a great way to buy car insurance. In fact, why not do some looking right now? Go to GEICO.com. It's quick, it's easy, and you could save hundreds. You know, saving money looks good on you. GEICO.com. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
One in four adults has high blood pressure. If you're one of them and you have a cold, Coricidin HBP has surprising news for you. The American Heart Association recognizes that decongestants found in many leading cold medicines can raise your blood pressure and interfere with blood pressure medication. So why risk it? Only decongestant-free Coricidin HBP provides a line of safe, powerful cold and flu medication specially formulated for people with high blood pressure. So make the safe choice. Coricidin HBP. Use as directed.
Feeling left out by right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour, I'm still getting emails from people who listen via the internet who want to know what the music is that we play during the breaks. I thought I explained this the other night, and I did. Maybe you just didn't hear. What Air America Radio is doing right now is they have separated their commercial messages that go via the internet from their commercial messages that go via satellite and picked up by radio stations. I'm not talking about XM. I'm talking about satellite transmission of this program and Sam's and everybody's program up to the satellite where it's transmitted down the radio stations. And then now that transmission carries commercials, but over the internet, because the internet doesn't generate any revenue for Air America. Eventually, perhaps it will, but until there is a way to truly, really, honestly determine how many people are listening via the internet, Air America is going to send their commercials through, you know, over the air. Or, no, not XM, because they don't do commercials, do they? No, that's subscription. So I hope that makes sense. I know a lot, I'm just getting email after email after email over the past couple of weeks when they started this. It's nothing weird. It doesn't mean I don't have advertisers on this program. It doesn't mean they're about to drop the Malloy Show or anything of that nature. It's just, it has to do with the business end of it, decisions that are made way above mine, Sam Cedar's, Randy Rhodes' pay grade, okay? So if you listen via the internet, you're going to hear that gagging, horrendous music. Nothing I can do about that. That's just free, generic music. That's why they play it. They don't have to pay any royalties on it. It's very simple. It's just nothing music. Okay? Everybody got that? All right. From Lance in Manhattan, Illinois, referring to Senator Lindsey Graham's statement today about guilt by association is going to drive people away. Graham made that statement in referencing the cap thingy that Alito belonged to and bragged about at Princeton. Lance refers to Senator Graham as Senator Anus. But Lance writes, guilt by association seems to apply only to the innocent in America. Black people in America are guilty by association, the association of skin tone that has led to hundreds of years of slavery, lynchings, whippings. And still today, blacks can rarely vote and can be arrested without reason in corporate America. In the 50s, Americans who had the slightest connection to a communist or who simply refused to rat out friends to appease fascists were guilty by association, jailed, blackballed, because they stood up for the Constitution in the face of the marauding herd of Republicans drunk on power and fascism. Today, Americans who dare stand up against an illegal, immoral, unconstitutional war are subjected to beatings in the street, gassing, having most of their constitutional rights abused by government officials who swore an oath to uphold the Constitution. What babbling Senator Anus failed to mention is that guilt by association almost never happens to the guilty, almost never happens to the Republicans. How did Ronald Reagan suffer from guilt by association? He was a rat, a McCarthy rat, turning in members of the union he was head of, helping to violate constitutional rights, even denying freedom to people who were only guilty of exercising those guaranteed rights. Reagan was punished with 8 years as the president of corporate America. What about the guilt by association of Kathleen Harris, denying blacks the right to vote in Florida? She was sent to Congress for punishment. How about Rumsfeld, Oliver North, Dennis Hastert, Newt Gingrich, George Bush, Karl Rove, Rush Limbaugh? Republican criminals have no guilt by association. Hell, they suffer no punishment at all, and these people are actual criminals. Guilt by association, my butt. So shut up, Senator Anus. Yeah, I know. But that happens all the time, right? You project onto someone else your own garbage. That's why so many of us who we're not trying to be cute when we say that the most screaming homophobe is usually a gay man just begging to get out and live his life normally. That so often is the case. That's not, and I get emails whenever that comes up from a lot of gay listeners to say, don't put that son of a bitch on our side of the fence. We don't want him. No, I understand. But, you know, people who scream about, well, I'm not going to run it down. You know what I'm talking about. You folks are a lot brighter than I am, and you understand this stuff. All right, let's squeeze in a call before the break, and then we're going to come back and do nothing but phone calls. How about John, who's calling from Columbus, Ohio? John, welcome to the program.
Mike, good to hear you, but I'll need more in a little time. Please hold me all if you can.
Well, we usually don't do it at the top of the hour. Start talking. You got some time here. Go ahead.
Give me a chance because I got so much to say here. You know, I think it's perfectly fitting that Mr. Magic Bullet, Mr. Impossible Magic Bullet, theorist and concoctor, who was one of the key accessories to the greatest crime of the 20th century in the United States, the CIA military-industrial assassination of John Kennedy, should now be, and that coup is now being repeated by another coup in another form, in the form of him bringing into office this fascist to the Supreme Court, which will certify and validate every police state measure that Bush is going to perpetrate. Now, you know, I was listening to Randy Rhodes yesterday, and she had on former chair of the National Intelligence Brief for five administrations, Ray McGovern, a very tough-minded professional CIA analyst who briefed presidents for the last 35 years. And he said that these guys are absolute crazies in this office, and we should be very worried about fascism. He also said that those people who are investigating the evidence...
John? Oh, Jesus, not again.
Go ahead.
All right, John, we got a break. I don't know what happened there, but if you're still listening, thanks for checking in. All right, quick break here, Truth Seekers. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
America Radio.
My name's Brian, and I've been suffering from psoriasis for over 15 years. And this product, Skin Zinc, it actually works. I love it because there's no steroids. You just spray it on, and it works. It's like having brand new skin.
I'm Janine, and I just want to tell everyone out there that Skin Zinc is amazing. I don't itch. Look, I'm in a T-shirt and shorts. I finally have a social life again. Just try it. It works. Believe me.
My name is Mark, and I've used everything there is to treat the dry, flaky skin on my arms. Skin Zinc's helped. I don't know why doctors don't have this, but I'm telling you, they don't.
After using Skin Zinc, it's completely cleared up. Skin Zinc is phenomenal.
I tried Skin Zinc, and in about 1 week, I noticed that the rashes on my arms were going away. It works better than anything I've ever used, period.
Call right now for your in-home 30-day risk-free trial of Skin Zinc at 800-507-5896. That's 800-507-5896. Skin Zinc helps you eliminate psoriasis. Call 800-507-5896. Call now and get relief. 800-507-5896.
Air America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. It was another day of tough questions for Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito. Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee accused Alito of troubling inconsistencies in statements about his record and views. Alito rejected Democratic assertions that he is biased and has a preconceived agenda.
If I'm confirmed, I'll be myself. I'll be the same person that I was on the Court of Appeals.
And Judge Alito spoke about his background.
I don't come from an affluent background or a privileged background. My parents were both quite poor when they were growing up. And I know about their experiences, and I didn't experience those things. I don't take credit for anything that they did.
President Bush nominated the 55-year-old federal appeals court judge to replace the retiring Justice Sandra Day O'Connor. Tempers got a little frayed at the hearings. Here's Senator Ted Kennedy sparring with Pennsylvania Republican Arlen Specter, the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee.
I'd want to give notice to the chair that you're going to have it again and again and again, and we're going to have votes of this committee again and again and again until we have a resolution.
Senator Kennedy, I'm not concerned about your threats to have votes again, again, and again. And I'm the chairman of this committee, and I have heard your request, and I will consider it. And I'm not going to have you run this committee and decide when we're going to go into executive session.
Senator Kennedy had requested a congressional subpoena to unseal records of a controversial Princeton University alumni group that Alito belonged to. The recent Sago mine disaster was a major topic in West Virginia Governor Joe Manchin's State of the State address. Manchin said while the cause of the explosion that led to the deaths of 12 miners is not yet known, he is dedicating all the resources he can to find out what happened. Manchin said his office will donate $100,000 toward a fund that will help families of the victims. The Pentagon says troops in Iraq have the right amount of body armor for the demands of the battlefield. Defense officials told the Senate Armed Services Committee that the armor has the correct balance of protection and mobility. The committee meeting comes after the disclosure of a Pentagon report that said about 80% of the fatal torso wounds suffered by Marines in Iraq could have been prevented or limited by more complete body armor. Last year's bonuses on Wall Street are expected to have reached record highs. New York State Comptroller Alan Hevesy says he believes $21.5 billion in bonuses were awarded in 2005. That's almost $3 billion more than the bonuses the year before. The previous record for bonuses was $19.5 billion in 2000 when there was a boom in equities. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
back. It's about 7 past the hour. This is Air America. My name is Mike Malloy. So, according to Daily Coast, quoting Patriot Daily News Clearinghouse, Bush and his crime family will be criminalizing protesters under the new Patriot Act. They will be called disruptors. A little notice provision in the latest version of the Patriot Act will empower Secret Service to charge protesters with the new crime of disrupting major events. Secret Service will also be empowered to charge persons with breaching security and to charge for entering a restricted area. Remember this? The state gradually insinuated surveillance into everyday life and the corresponding need to live in fear and the nervousness and caution to be circumscribed in every action and possibly officially disappearing during the night and officially never having existed. Libraries became no longer a safe place to visit. The books in each page now included a radio tracking device, and the cameras watched everyone. Even in the stall and the restrooms were watched. You know, we were talking during the break here, Kathy and I, and I'm just wondering about reading one chapter of George Orwell's 1984 every night on the program. I think that the chapters are not that long, if I remember, and I think we could do it during the first hour if we just took one segment from Eastern time here, from 10, we should go on at 10, from 10:34 until 10:50. That's about a 16-minute chunk. And every night, Kathy, just read during that one little segment out of 3 hours of this program, 1984. Just start at the beginning and continue until we reach the end. It's about 10 past the hour. Let's go back to the phone calls here. Jeff is calling from Napa, California. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, I just want to congratulate you on the best performance I've ever heard from Air America in, like, in the realm of comedy.
Oh, well, you're welcome.
About the crying game of Alito's wife.
That was just so weird.
Wasn't that a performance? And don't you think it was set up?
Yes. Whether it was set up deliberately or just a gratuitous moment that Lindsey Graham and Alito's wife and everybody could glom onto.
It may have been a spontaneous, from thereafter spontaneous, but it sure seemed to me like it was set up.
Yeah, I had the feeling too. I always question when somebody can sit there with a smarmy, kind of passive look on their face when the discussion of 10-year-old girls being strip searched is brought up, and yet when in this case, when Mrs. Alito's husband is being questioned about his bigotry and his racism, then all of a sudden she tears up and starts crying.
Exactly, and your crying was, I mean, your performance was better than Al Franken or Morning Sedition or anyone I've ever heard of Morning. The other thing I wanted to ask you was...
Let's talk about that some more. Tell me again how good it sounded. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
Go ahead.
It was great. You had my wife...
I'm kidding. Go ahead. Now, what did you really call about?
The fact that my wife works on the blogs all the time, mm-hmm. and there is a letter from Spector acknowledging Ted Kennedy's letter that you were talking about earlier.
Oh, really? I saw somebody sent me, it was posted somewhere at Democratic Underground, a timeline of the letter Kennedy's talking about that he sent, first of all, to the trustee that would have Alito's application,
yes.
And that was turned down. So he requested that Spector requested as part of these hearings. Spector has the power; he has subpoena power, and yada yada. And Specter ignored him, but Specter's staff responded to Kennedy's staff. So there was plenty of back and forth, and I think Specter's a liar. That's all. In this instance, he's an absolute liar.
Yes. And aren't they all?
Yeah, for sure. All right.
Thank you, Mike.
All right. Thanks for checking in. I appreciate it, Jeff. Take care. Terry is calling from Dallas. Terry, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for having my call.
Absolutely.
I have a couple of comments to make. The first I wanted to make was Sinclair Lewis wrote in 1935 that, quote, when fascism comes to America, it will have a flag in one hand and a cross in the other.
Yeah, yeah. That's from that book, It Can't Happen Here.
Yeah. But my main comment is, since the earliest days of the Reagan administration, all we've heard from the Republicans is we need to get rid of these outdated government agencies and their arcane rules, FCC, EPA, SEC, it's horrible. I just wonder how much longer before we're going to hear, you know, that document in Philadelphia written in 1787 by those dead white men that owned slaves. It's written on parchment made out of hemp. We need to get rid of it and have a constitution for the 21st century. It's outdated like those horrible rules.
Yeah.
I mean, after all, they want to change the name of the FCC from Federal Communications Commission to Friends of Clear Channel. So
Friends of Clear Channel. Right.
No, but I swear, how long is it going to be for... We have to get rid of that old, outdated constitution.
Yeah, I hear you. That's a fear of mine, too. Thanks, Terry. Thanks for checking in. I appreciate it. The corruption of language is an absolute requirement of fascism. There is floating around the Internet the 14 defining characteristics of fascism, but prior to the defining characteristics are the kind of intricate, the nuts and bolts, the clockwork of fascism that I think most of us are familiar with. But the corruption of language is so key to the establishment of totalitarianism of any sort, but especially fascism. And if the Bush crime family has done anything in its 5 years, and if the Republican Party has done anything since 1994 in the past 12, it has been to totally corrupt American English, to the point where even the word patriot has been so co-opted now. So much of language that we use, American English, has just been bastardized to the point that, just like in Alice's Adventures Through the Looking Glass, things are not, meanings have been totally altered. Things have changed. Corruption of language is... And I think that is one of the primary crimes that can be committed against an established society, is to corrupt its language. Because that is the basis of communication. That's how we pass on absolutely necessary information. Laterally, vertically, you know, within our families, with our neighbors, our friends, our relatives across the country. Whatever system we use to share information necessary to our survival, we use that, what the hell, this is so obvious, essential truths are obvious. We use language. And to corrupt it, to destroy it, to pervert it, as the Republicans have done, and as the Bush crime family is hell-bent on completing, is an outrage. It's an outrage. How are we to communicate if all of a sudden definitions have changed? Words no longer mean what they have always meant. All of a sudden, language becomes double plus ungood. And where does that leave us?
Keeping your brow, get stupid, cause I know how. Check my brain in, be an idiot, act ignorant, stay ignorant, be remedial, wear the dust caps, loud children, cool like a hunchback. Don't discuss things, shout the last word, put your bracelet out the pasture. Drop your IQ, that's what I do. My advice, girls and guys who wanna be a Nobel Prize finalist, rocket scientists, try applying this. Keep the customers coming around. If you're smart, then you better start dumbing it down. Don't say anything too profound, dumb it down.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
This is Mark Crispin Miller. The world can't wait to drive out the Bush regime. On January 31st, Bush gives his State of the Union address. But we can say right now that this union is in a state of emergency. The Bush regime is not conservative. The Bush regime is not American. The Bush regime is radically opposed to the ideals on which America was founded. Reason, free speech, democracy, and the pursuit of happiness. The Bush regime wants to replace all that with corporate domination and religious tyranny. They want a vast police state where there is no argument, no private pleasure, no free thought, and not a single tree left standing. This regime is immoral, unjust, unelected, and indictably criminal, and we must stop it. Tuesday, January 31st, during Bush's State of the Union address, we will protest all across the country and demand that Bush step down. The next Saturday, February 4th, join us in Washington, D.C., where we'll bring our demands right to the White House. Bush lied. Bush spied. Bush stepped down. Find us today. WorldCan'tWait.org, 866-973-4463.
Microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's more Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
It's 21 past the hour. Aaron is calling from Tucson, Arizona. Aaron, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks, Mike. I was going to talk to you real quick about what I've been reading, but I just have to comment on a couple things I've been listening to on the show this evening. First of all, the Republicans are going to talk about guilt by association. I've got two words for them. Abe Fortas. That's what they used to try to get, that's what they used to get him off the Supreme Court. So you know something, guys, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Yeah, if he was part of it, even if he was anywhere near it, it's called guilt by association. Deal with it, buddies. And what scares us is the most is that he will be the exact, that Alito will be the exact same person on the Supreme Court as he was on the appeals court.
Mm-hmm.
That scares me sleepless at night. But the sad thing is that he's going to be like that. I came across something I saw on the State Department website, which
right.
has really scared me. And I posted it at my blog. Let me bring up my blog real quick. What it is what's going to happen come 2008 under the Intelligence Reform and Terrorist Prevention Act of 2004 will require that by January 1st, 2008, travelers to and from the Caribbean, Bermuda, Panama, Mexico, and Canada have to have a passport or other secure accepted document to enter or re-enter the United States. That is coming from and going to, which means Americans who do not have a passport, who step 5 feet off of American soil, must have a passport to be allowed back into their country, our country, or they will be denied repatriation. Which sucks because I live about 60 miles from Tucson. I live 60 miles from Mexico. I like to go to Avenida Obregón to eat something, to have lunch sometimes. And I'm going to need a passport to step 15 feet away from that stupid metal wall that they have down there.
Well, yeah, all politics is local. So is all fascism. So, yeah, I can understand why you feel the way you do.
How many college students are going to be re-denied or going to be denied entrance or re-entrance back into this country if they decide to go to Mazatlan or Cabo or Cancun or, heaven forbid, Toronto?
Well, especially Toronto.
Yeah, well, okay, fine. Vancouver. Is that better?
No, but anywhere in Canada.
Yeah, but the thing is that
Canadians allow queers to get married!
They also, yeah, and they're just like Denver. They allow people to have pot on them. Heaven forbid. Canada is rife with sin and vice.
No, I take your point, Aaron. We live in perilous times, and I have no idea what's going to happen. What's your blog spot?
I don't think I'm making this a stretch, because when they brought up, and if you click on where it has it, if you click on where it says frequently asked questions, right. It does not mention that Americans don't need a passport. The only place it says that Americans don't need a passport is, thank God that they're thinking of us. We don't need passports to go to American protectorates and territories. So if I decide to go to Guam or Puerto Rico or the American Virgin Islands, I don't need a passport. But if I go 5 feet off of my 5 feet across the border in Nogales into Sonora, I'm screwed if I don't have a passport to come back in after 2008. Isn't it nice that we've sealed ourselves off completely?
Now, is this at your blog spot?
This is at my blog spot.
All right, what's your URL? Let's get it out here. I got to move on. What's your blog spot?
Okay, it's moderndaycynic.blogspot.com, and I have a lot of colorful language that you're not allowed to use on the radio.
Moderndaycynic@blogspot.com. Okay, people will check it out. Thanks, Aaron. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for the information. Who we got here? Elizabeth. From Virginia. I remember when Elizabeth used to call us from the far-flung reaches of northwestern Ohio, if I remember right.
You know.
Hey, Elizabeth, how are you?
You know, you remember.
Absolutely.
I remember you from the old days in Chicago.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I'm improving with old age, getting grayer, and I stayed up until 1 o'clock last night trying to get on. So I tried to get on a little bit earlier tonight. I have lots of...
Well, here you are.
And I'll probably talk too fast, but I have lots to get in. Everything you've been saying so far tonight, I just wish I could remember every bit of it so that I could influence more people. But first question, Pache in Terram.
Peace on it.
All right, 2000.
Yeah.
110. I think every American should remember peace on earth with 2,210 dead so far. That's one point. Okay.
Mm.
And for Mrs. Alito, strong women don't cry.
Yeah,
I mean, unless the husband is really, unless it's really disastrous, if it was like in the middle ages where he was being beheaded or being, you know, whatever, hanged or whatever, but strong women don't cry. Strong women just, we keep it inside ourselves because we've been through a lot, and we just don't cry. We hold it till we are in private, and then we can cry almost our hearts out.
Well, I'll take your advice on that one, Elizabeth, since you are definitely a woman. Elizabeth, I have to leave it there. Thank you. Don't be a stranger. You know how to call us again now. I'd love to hear from you every once in a while. Stay with us. Truth Seekers, I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
I'm a woman. I like things like movies with dialogue and sweater sets. I like hot cocoa on a rainy day. I like the word cocoa. But most of all, I like my big fat hog. Which is why I have Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Geico covers most kinds of bikes and has money-saving discounts. Geico. That's nice.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
Tina, your face is all red. Are you okay?
I'm fine. It's just hot in here.
Hot? We're in the freezer aisle, Tina. You're having a hot flash.
Hot flash? Menopause? But I'm still getting my period.
It's not menopause yet.
But it could be changing hormones. When I got my first flash, my pharmacist told me to start taking Estroven. Estroven is all natural and can help reduce hot flashes, night sweats, and irritability.
I'm not irritable.
Right. And you don't need a prescription. It's in the vitamin aisle.
Let's go get Estroven now.
Hot flashes? It's just your body telling you it's time for Estroven. Use as directed.
Hey, I just finished our taxes with TurboTax.
Shouldn't we have gone to one of those tax stores?
Well, TurboTax asks me questions just like H&R Block does, and then it puts the answers on all the right forms.
But the tax guy checks it.
TurboTax checks for errors and missed deductions, too.
How do we know it's right?
Calculations are guaranteed accurate. Besides, more returns were prepared with TurboTax last year than at all the H&R Block stores combined.
Huh. If it's so good, how much are we getting back?
Take a look.
Wow.
TurboTax. Taxes made easy, taxes done right. Learn more at TurboTax.com or visit a retailer near you.
Hello. I am the Ricola Mystery Coffer. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, I'll reward you with $1,000, $100,000, maybe $1 million. But be warned, I can be a man.
Or a woman.
So keep your Ricola cough drops on hand.
For clues and official rules, go to RicolaUSA.com. No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game begins 10-105 and ends 2-2806. Ricola!
We'll be right back.
The Mike Malloy Show. Because each time you listen to right-wing radio, God kills a kitten.
Aww. 26 before the hour. A couple of quick emails and back to your phone calls from Drew in Houston. Drew writes, every time I turn to CNN, I feel like this person, Wolf Blitzer, is auditioning for Fox News. For example, he's still trying to link Democrats with Abramoff after Howard Dean put him in his place a couple of days ago. And tonight he's playing up Alito's wife crying. You've worked with him. Is he just a suck-up or just coming out of the closet as a full-blown fascist? I'm ready to send this guy some knee pads with the presidential seal on it. I never worked with Blitzer. When I worked for CNN itself, Blitzer was still a correspondent for the Jerusalem Post. And when I worked for CNN in 2000, I was working for CNN International, which we had our own separate everything. In the same building, I mean, we were just a floor below or a floor above. I forget, Kathy. CNN, I guess a floor above. But you're right about Blitzer. Blitzer is a fascist. There's no question. You can't spend time in the Middle East, as Blitzer has, and not be a fascist. And I don't care what country you live in the Middle East. Fascism is rampant. Every single country in the Middle East practices some sort of fascism. Just the way it goes. Okay, now scream and deny it, but it's true. And this is from Kurt in Minneapolis. Mike, let's not forget the scapegoat. He's referring to the other essential to a rise in fascism. There are 14 defining characteristics of fascism, but there are some essential clockwork things about fascism. And Kurt says, let's not forget the scapegoat. For example, the savage, the adulteress, the communist, the Jew, the Catholic, the Irishman, the Negro, the welfare queen, the Kraut, the Jap, the Gook, the immigrant, the Arab, the Muslim, the Iranian, and on and on. And the mirror image of the scapegoat? The tribe. White like me, Protestant like me, soccer mom like me, angry white male like me. This relationship, Kurt writes, the scapegoat slash tribe relationship is the other essential element in the quiet acquiescence to fascist rule. Yeah, there always has to be a significant other who is a definite threat. And if that other can be located within the borders of the country approaching fascism, all the better. And again, I refer to the Hitlerian model. If the enemy is within, then the enemy is much more insidious and requires the crackdown on civil liberties, if not the full elimination. If the enemy is from without, well, that just requires a good defense. You know, barbed wire across the top of the fence, nuclear missiles, whatever it is. But if the enemy is within, oh, Jesus, then we have to curtail all this nonsense about free speech and telephone conversations and unopened mail, and your house is your sanctuary, because the enemy is within. And that is exactly the position of the Bush crime family. How much longer do you think this program will be on the air, Kathy? How much longer, indeed? Victoria is calling from El Paso. Victoria, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. Thank you very much.
Sure.
I don't know where this fits in, or maybe it does. But I think Alito was proud of his membership in CAP. He just didn't mean for anybody to know it publicly. And soon, it's not going to be shameful for these people to admit things like this. Like, I happened to be in my car today, and I had Clear Channel on. And I think something's gone terribly wrong when I happen to listen to Marshmallow Boy Mike Reagan.
Yeah.
And his outright sexist comments, unchecked, unchallenged. You know, maybe the climate is right for people like Judge Alito. When Mike Reagan, he can say anything he wants on the radio airwaves.
Sure.
Something like, he said, anyone in a women's activist group is, quote, ugly. He said women in these groups have hair on their arms.
Oh, my God, that is so mid-80s.
I know.
You know, Mike Reagan has his head firmly up his sphincter muscle to render himself suffocated. It's just incredible what these right-wing cretins come up with. Oh, that is so old!
You said they're definitely butch, if you...
Oh, yeah! They're all dykes and lesbians!
Yep.
Oh, Jesus. Well, why are you listening to Michael Regan anyway?
I don't know. I do listen to that channel.
Yeah?
If I'm in my car.
I see.
I have to listen to you on the internet, so...
Oh, I see. Yeah, isn't that the way it goes?
Yep, I guess so. Thank you for your work.
Well, thanks, Victoria. Thanks for checking in. I appreciate it. You take care. Well, that's just what Kurt was wrote about from Minneapolis. Sure, always demonized. The thing that gets me, kind of, it always has. I mean, going all the way back to this hell to the 70s or to the late 60s. When did what's her name? Who wrote The Female Eunuch? Yeah, Germaine Greer. Thank you, Kathy. The Female Eunuch. I read that in 72, I guess. 71 or 72. And Germaine Greer laid out the perfect explanation in The Female Eunuch. The perfect explanation of male terror of women. Absolute terror. Now, I think anyone who read that book, any male who read that book, for me, it was the seminal book for me on feminism. Before that, nothing. In my punkin' little head, I may have had some ideas about the ridiculousness of attempting to subjugate females because they were female, but nothing was clear. I hadn't read Betty Friedan or any of that. You know, that was for somebody else to read, not me. But Germaine Greer's book, Female Eunuch, was the seminal book for me where it concerned feminism. But what I took from that book was the absolute, utter, unstoppable, unconquerable fear that conservatives have where it concerns women. Hence, the vitriolic ugliness, the constant attacks against females, constantly, whether they are veiled attacks or just blatant right out in the open. Now, the most serious attack, of course, is to try to tell a woman that she is not guaranteed the right of privacy, that the Constitution has no right of privacy. It's astonishing. It's incredible. It's mind-boggling. It's America. Where are we? Brian is calling from New York. Brian, welcome to the program. Hey, Brian.
Mike, you know, a point I wanted to make is that even if we get back the House and the Senate in 06, I mean, God willing, I mean, please, I mean, I hope... It still seems that even if they finally can bring all of these Bush cronies up on their crimes, you know, if things go through, at the very least, with this Alito getting in, it'll all come down to the courts, you know what I mean, the final decision on indictments against these crooks, and then Bush will have his boys there to just, you know, say, oh, you know, like what Gerald Ford did, you know, in pardoning Nixon.
All right. Well, let me just add something here, Brian. The Constitution only provides for one way to deal with a criminal president, and that's impeachment. And that is strictly the purview of the House and the Senate. The courts have nothing to say about impeachment. They can't overturn an impeachment. They can't issue bill of indictment in impeachment. The courts can do nothing. The courts cannot pardon an impeachment. I got an email earlier tonight from somebody who was suggesting that Bush should be indicted for crimes. Bush can commit murder. Now, I may be wrong here, but I think he is protected from being charged for that crime in a criminal court. He can be indicted by the House, that is a bill of impeachment, for high crimes and misdemeanors, because obviously murder is a crime. But the only way to strike out legally against the president is through a bill of impeachment and then articles of impeachment and then a trial in the Senate. And if he is found guilty in the Senate, then he's removed from office. Now, what happens after that is up to civil and criminal court. Once a man, so far it's been all men, once a man is out of the presidency, he is subject to... to whatever criminal laws he may have violated that were not the direct result of his being president, I believe. Now, he can be pardoned. And that's what Gerald Ford, you're absolutely right, what Gerald Ford did with Dick Nixon was to issue a pardon. Don't forget, Nixon was never even impeached. He was threatened with impeachment, and he resigned rather than be impeached and go to trial. So the pardon that Gerald Ford issued had nothing whatsoever to do with impeachment. It had to do with, I believe, immunizing Dick Nixon from any civil or criminal charges brought against him by anybody, anywhere, in any court in the United States. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Brian, I got a break. Thanks. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. Now, if I'm wrong about that, Kurt in Minneapolis or Mike in Minneapolis, the lawyer listeners will let me know, right, guys? We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
Is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
I thought you were done with our taxes.
I am, but now TurboTax can help us get even more from our tax refund.
Really?
Yeah. With TurboTax, we can use all or part of our refund for gift cards with a bonus of 10%, 20%, or more at over 50 major retailers.
Wow.
We can get more from the places where we'd spend our money anyway.
A bonus on top of our refund? I'm thinking power tools.
Or some new shoes.
DVD player.
Dinner out.
Barbecue grill.
New laptop.
Vacation.
Ugh, vacation.
Fees apply. Learn more at TurboTax.com.
One in four adults has high blood pressure. If you're one of them and you have a cold, Coricidin HBP has surprising news for you. The American Heart Association recognizes that decongestants found in many leading cold medicines can raise your blood pressure and interfere with blood pressure medication. So why risk it? Only decongestant-free Coricidin HBP provides a line of safe, powerful cold and flu medication specially formulated for people with high blood pressure. So make the safe choice. Coricidin HBP. Use as directed.
your host for a Pence-Friends future, it's Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour, we're looking for feedback on this idea of reading Orwell's 1984. We've gotten maybe 25 emails so far tonight, all of which seem to be in favor of the idea. We would take the first hour of the program every night from Eastern time here, 10:34 when we come back from the break until 10:50 when we go to another break. That's 16 minutes, and just stick it in there. Just read whatever we can get in. During that 16-minute break or 60-minute segment, and what the only thing my executive producer here is concerned about is it might be too long for radio format. Although I disagree. I mean, you don't hear it. You don't hear a lot of things we do on this program on other talk shows. But if you want to just give us a quick feedback, quick email, whether or not you think it'd be a good idea. So that's pretty much what it would be. All right. To our usual crew, thanks for tonight's program. In New York City, Justin Yuen and resident rock star Jason Isaac, who engineered the program, kept us on the air. D. Neal, who's our associate producer, answers your calls and maintains the blog at airamericaradio.com/Mike Malloy. Also, our senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota, Mark Marshall, our webmaster, moderators at our website, MikeMalloy.com. Ben Birch, who archives this program at WhiteRoseSociety.org, and Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief. Catherine Bay is our executive producer. Brian is calling from California. Brian, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I don't know how really important this is or not, but I was watching C-SPAN and I was watching the hearing, and I noticed when Judge Alito was going talking to you about what a judge should do, how a judge should be. And then it got to a point when he said he didn't believe, he thinks what a judge should do is, oh my God, I forgot what I was going to say. Hang on one quick second. When he stuttered. He stuttered and he choked and he had to drink a glass of water because he said, I don't care how high or how low a person is in government, they should be accountable for it, but he had to choke. And even his wife sitting behind him, she kind of like flinched a little bit and like looked around at the committee to see what their expression was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was odd. He was lying. Flat out lying.
Yeah.
He was going to, that if you were a person, he does not believe that you are not above the law.
Mm-hmm.
But because he said below the law.
Right.
And if the viewers want to go and check it out, they can go on C-SPAN. I looked it up, and it's 25 minutes within to that that hearing. And it's the oddest thing, and I laughed so hard because I said, he is so stupid. It's just the same thing all over again.
It is, isn't it? It just doesn't
sad.
Change.
It's really sad.
Yeah.
It's really, truly sad that these people who are in our White House right now are just trying to run a different type of a government that the majority of the country does not want. We want to be able to have our freedoms.
We want to
do the things we do. And this man is sitting up there lying right before us. And if he gets into Congress, we're doomed because we are going to do the same thing again. We've seen these people before. They're nobody new. They're the same exact people who thought it would be a good idea to slaughter the Indians, take over the country, and bring over the Africans to build the country. They're the same people.
Yeah.
When are we going to learn our lessons?
Possibly never. I don't know. Brian.
I hope we do.
I hear you loud and clear. Thanks, Brian.
I hope
Brian.
We do. These are the same exact people.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. You are. Thanks, Brian. I just want to add something to what you're saying. And we touched on this earlier tonight, Brian. You know, the American people want freedom. The American people want, you didn't use the word liberty, but liberty is... I don't think it's interchangeable with freedom, but it means essentially the same thing. But I'm at this point in my life, I'm questioning that. I know a lot of people talk about freedom, the right wingers, especially, that's all they ever talk about. Oh, well, you know, the Democrats, the liberals are trying to take our freedoms away from us. They're trying to take God away from us. They're trying to take Jesus away. You know, you hear that all the time. But I you know, that's gobbledygook. I've never met a Republican who can handle freedom. I'm serious. Maybe some right-wing libertarians can handle it. And even them, I have my doubts. You have to be someone who believes in justice in order to handle freedom. And I have never met a right-winger who believes in justice. Not real justice. Justice for him, justice for her, but not justice for all. So I don't agree, Brian, that the majority... I'm sorry, that sounds so cynical. The split may be 51-49, but I think the majority of Americans... This is awful, isn't it? This is awful. The majority of Americans, I don't believe, are interested in freedom and liberty. And, you know, as Grandma used to say, the proof is in the pudding. Well, we've had 5 years of moving toward absolute totalitarianism. We have a regime that takes us into wars. We have a regime that stole the executive branch. And we do nothing. We do nothing! I mean, as a nation, as a society. Some of us scream and bitch and yell and carry signs and march and walk and write and scream and plead and blah, 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 blah. But as a society... As a group, we're just kind of, well, I don't know. Thanks for participating tonight in the program. I appreciate it. However you did that. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
America Radio.
My name's Brian, and I've been suffering from psoriasis for over 15 years. And this product, Skin Zinc, it actually works. I love it because there's no steroids. You just spray it on, and it works. It's like having brand new skin.
I'm Janine, and I just want to tell everyone out there that Skin Zinc is amazing. I don't itch. Look, I'm in a T-shirt and shorts. I finally have a social life again. Just try it. It works. Believe me.
My name is Mark, and I've used everything there is to treat the dry, flaky skin on my arms. Skin Zinc's helped. I don't know why doctors don't have this, but I'm telling you, they don't.
After using Skin Zinc, it's completely cleared up. Skin Zinc is phenomenal.
I tried Skin Zinc, and in about 1 week, I noticed that the rashes on my arms were going away. It works better than anything I've ever used, period.
Call right now for your in-home 30-day risk-free trial of Skin Zinc at 800-507-5896. That's 800-507-5896. Skin Zinc helps you eliminate psoriasis. Call 800-507-5896. Call now and get relief. 800-507-5896.